Wake up! I need you to be focused.
Don't let anyone tell you that shit.
I sound like a massive freak.
So if you get made fun of, you get made fun of. Who cares?
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Speed, passion, attitude, reliability, knowledge. Welcome to Lobal's Spark, the power of ADHD.
Who is this person who speaks to me as though I needed his advice?
Yes, last night he's swimming in Jack Daniels, and now he can lead tall buildings in a single bound.
This person would be your host, and yours truly, Lobal.
What is your profession?
Hello there again, and welcome to Season 10 of Lobal Spark, ADHD and Resilience. Lobal Spark has started a fundraising effort for Crisis Text Line. We have a goal of $19 per episode, as $19 supports one person in their time of absolute crisis with their mental health. If you would like to donate through our fundraiser titled Lauren's Infinity, the link is listed in the episode's description. Lauren was my wife's best friend and loved by all who came into contact with her. Lobal Spark is proudly sponsored by Build in Public University, a safe place to promote your content. Lobal Spark is also proudly supported by Terry Shubilla, Leo Guinan, Kirk Hofstrom, Casey Elliott, Sarah Delano, Justin Allingham, Blushing Crafter, Jamie Young, and Beth Jones. It is only because of you that I can keep this going. Today's groove episode centers around the very theme of Season 10, ADHD and resilience. This topic was brought up by my mother, who mentioned that not one time have I said the word resilient on this podcast. She was so right. In this episode, each ADHD friend tells their story and or opinions on what it means to be resilient in their own lives. And we conclude with maybe the most epic ending to any episode of Lobal Spark thus far. Resilient ADHDers featured in this episode are Terry Shubilla, Leo Guinan, Kirk Hofstrom, Dorsey McFadden, and Mechie Mancilla. Together, we are something for someone. Topic of this episode that I really wanted to dive into is ADHD and resilience. And this topic was brought up by my mother, who had watched one of my episodes and then sent me this dissertation feedback, which I have to read a part of right now. What she said was, one trait of ADHD people that you did not mention that I think is critical for everyone to learn is resilience. That's a quality that everyone needs. And ADHD children learn it early and well because they are forced into an environment of doing what they do not want to do every day. Repeatedly, they fail, and repeatedly, they pick themselves up and move on. Resilience becomes ingrained. Everyone has a failure at some point in their lives, and if they have not mastered resilience, they can slip into despair. Because of being trapped in an environment not of their choosing and where many ADHD children do not do well or opt out, it is important to make sure there is an escape hatch where they can excel. For you, it was sports. No one responds to being constantly put down, and everyone needs affirmation. I thought that was a very well-written email for me to see. So the one question I have is, what is your story with ADHD and being resilient? And were you forced to be resilient? Or was it of your choosing? You can tell this story however you want. I mean, that's the beauty, the beauty of this. I'm going to start with Leo.
Yeah, I've been giving this a lot of thought, and you know, there are definitely a couple instances that come to mind. But you know, I want to say that I think the biggest reason that we learn resilience, especially those of us who have gone through like undiagnosed, is because essentially we end up doing things the hardest way possible for us, because that's what people traditionally say is the right way to do things. And so the only way we accomplish anything is to just do it over and over and over again until we figure out a way to put something together that actually manages to work for us. And I think personally that for me was college. And so, you know, I went from excelling academically because it was easy enough to do it with no preparation, no planning. I showed up, I did the work, and that was fine. All of a sudden in college, a lack of structure, the whole fact that like there was nobody actually like making me go to class or do the work or anything like that. You know, even though I wanted to graduate, I enjoyed, you know, my major and I enjoyed studying a lot of the subjects, I just didn't enjoy doing the work that didn't make a lot of sense. And so, you know, it took, I don't know, 7 years, I think, to get my degree after being told I had to leave for a year and then eventually coming back and then dragging my GPA out of the depths with which I had gotten it to. Because, of course, in typical ADHD fashion, I managed to talk them into letting me stick around several quarters after they tried to kick me out the first time, which just meant I got my GPA lower and lower and lower. But kind of going through that process showed me that I could eventually succeed. Didn't do it the traditional way. You know, a lot of people probably would have looked at it and been like, what the hell are you doing? And kind of, you know, sticking it out and forcing myself to go through with it. It's like, okay, well, if I did that, I can probably figure out anything else. Like, I have at least figured out enough of how I work that I can do well enough. You know, I think that that's really served me well in the whole, like, trying to build out a company and product and everything, because comparatively, it's much easier. Like, this is all fun. And so even if things don't work out, I'm still having fun doing it. I'm not terribly worried. And I can be fairly confident in the eventual successful outcome, because especially now that I've got the user manual that I need to understand how my brain works and why certain things are harder than others.
So you keep getting up.
Yeah. Every single time.
Every single time.
In fact, I've come to enjoy getting knocked down because it's a good learning experience. It's like just run into that wall, fall over, and figure out why that wall exists.
You keep getting up. That is literally what, like, I was so dumbfounded. My mom would write me that, is because it's like they keep, y'all just keep getting up. Referring to us, like, we just keep getting up. But a lot of people don't get up. And that's why we're doing
it. We run into a lot of walls.
Right. You know? Right. Exactly. And it hurts. It hurts.
We get used to it.
It hurts. Yeah. And it's hard to get up. And it's not that you're not trying.
Yeah.
When you're down there, I mean, it almost comes to a point where, like, you don't even know where that came from inside of you, where you actually just something snapped.
Yeah. Leo, right now, where do you think your resiliency has taken you? Like, without it, what would have happened?
Taken me everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that was the, in fact, almost to a fault. Like, right. That was something, you know, with my initial startup, it's like, I just need to keep going. But then I had to realize that I need to keep going, but not the way I was currently going. Like, it's okay to back up a little bit and just go around the wall instead of trying to just hit the wall until it falls over.
I can learn from that. I'm more of the hit the wall until it goes down, except there's a path right here that you could just casually walk through and it would be fine. But it's the, my personality.
Sometimes the wall's got to come down, though.
Any more that you would like to say on that, Leo? And thank you for that. That's perfect, actually. Because, I mean, this is, I'm going to prove my point tonight about how good we are.
I think I'm good. I'll cede the floor.
All right. Dorsey, what do we got?
ADHD
and resiliency.
Okay. So I was thinking about this and I was like, yeah, do we even know that we're doing it?
Right.
And it's true because, you know, with these executive function issues and our memory, like, is it just that we forget so quickly and that we bounce up and down in our emotions? Maybe. I think, though, a big piece of it, there are two pieces for me, and one is animals, and the other piece is really pivotal feedback from good teachers who saw, despite the issues that I had, the creativity and the talent that I had, and were vocal and purposeful in giving me feedback. And that allowed me to build up that self-confidence. But the animals were always there. They love you unconditionally. And I've always had a connection with them. So it was always easy with animals. So finding the thing that's easy for you and embracing it, so embracing the animals, which was not hard for me living with a veterinarian, coming back to that for love, I feel like they see your true self, even if you try to hide it. So even if you're masking, the animals always like see, they can sense those things. So yeah, good, pivotal, positive feedback from teachers and consistent, wonderful animals. Well, I was going to bring up something else, but someone very wise I talked to, and I was going to talk about something to do with my brother, but his birthday is this month. And I don't think it would be a very smart thing or very resilient building to talk about that right now, because I am in a more heightened emotional state.
Gotcha.
But
yeah, but the fact that you're willing to say that makes your mind resilient as shit to be able to admit that. That's huge.
Well, I think we're all, you know, neuroplasticity, right? So our brains can learn. You can teach an old dog new tricks. And
I like that.
We can rewrite our stories. Rewrite our stories as long as, like, we can see the past, accept it, and forgive ourselves and learn from that and move on.
Yeah.
We can rewrite the past.
I totally agree with that. That is rewrite the past. That's a superpower. For me, that's where I struggle big time is half of me is so focused on proving those people wrong when I was a kid that I don't realize that, like, hey, by the way, they don't give a shit anymore. Like, it's, you know, but for me, it's like, I can't just score. Like, I want to throw that fucking ball in their face. Like, and that's it. Like, honestly, and that's just part of, I guess, my personality, because I mean, how dare you keep me from being brilliant, knowing what I know now.
But I will say our perception as ADHD people, our brains play tricks on us, put us in little traps to get dopamine. And sometimes we're fighting a fight that only we know about.
Right. And it's a fight that we can win and get that instant dopamine win of, hey, I orchestrated the fight and I'm going to win the fight that I orchestrated. It's good.
And you can use that motivation. Absolutely. And I think that's something you see a lot in ADHD people. I'm going to prove them wrong type thing. And it's a great quality.
I totally agree, Dorsey. That is amazing. The fact that you said, like, that you had the confidence to say, like, this is the month of my brother or whatnot, that is resilience. It is. That's
wise words from someone here.
that is you, okay, not my words, Terry's. It was Terry's. Look at Terry on the screen. Okay. Hi. She is center bottom. That was Terry's comment, not mine. Give Terry the credit. Let's be resilient. Mechie, what do you got?
Well, it's for me, I don't think it's just the ADHD, it's also my life. So basically growing up and not knowing I had ADHD, like most of us here, of course, I was always, you know, whenever something didn't go out my way or how it was supposed to go, I would highly doubt myself and my own ability and be like, but I don't understand, because I don't feel stupid. Why am I failing at this? I know that I know this, but why is it that I can't do it? And so growing up, trauma happened. So many things happened in my life, one after another, one worse than the other. And I think that having ADHD gives you that opportunity to be resilient. And now that I do know that I do have my diagnosis and I know that I'm ADHD, I can see that from the outside and actually understand why I've built up myself so strongly when all of these things happened. You know, when something really bad happens in your life, you lose someone you love, or a burglar comes into your house and they take everything, like even, I don't know, your dog. And they do it more than 8 times, which is something that happened in my life when I was a child. I'm being serious. And when you have someone who's saying he's going to kill you, and you leave like The Shining, you know, the guy just trying to break the door with an axe. I actually leave that too. I talk about those things openly because I'm like completely through it. I don't fucking care about that now. I can talk about my traumatic events in my life. And say, you know what? That made me stronger. Each of those made me stronger. I could have chosen to be like scared and, you know, yeah, of course, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I go out in the street and I still get scared because I've had people put a gun on my head. But you know what? I could choose to stay home every single day and not go out, not live my life. But I am resilient. And I think that's when I say that ADHD is like a superpower. What I really want to say is the resiliency portion of it. Because, you know, not being able to focus, that's not a fucking superpower. Let's not lie to each other. But the resiliency, it is. Because when life hits you, you're like, fucking bring it on.
Fuck yeah.
Like Leo said, and I grew up being an only child. So I'm like the least competitive person I know with other people. But with myself, I am very competitive with myself. That's why I enjoy lifting weights. It's like last time I lifted this much, you know, how much am I going to lift this other week, or how much money am I going to make next month? And I'm like that with myself. And at first I thought that I was a little bit whimsical, you know, but then I understood, no, it's not that. It's just I'm resilient as fuck. And I want to make things better for myself. You know, I wasn't born maybe in the best place or the best scenario possible. But I get to change my own narrative. I can change my life. And the thing is, I became this resilient when I became independent. Because when I was a child or I was still studying, and I would get all of these no's from society, like, no, you cannot dress like that. No, you cannot say that. No, you're failing at this because of this problem or whatever. When growing up and, you know, being my own adult, I noticed that, hey, I can do things my way, and my way is better than theirs. So I'm going to continue doing them my way. So I think that's the reason why I consider myself a very resilient person. And if I had to say, what's my biggest strength? That's resiliency. I'm not going to take a no for an answer. I'm going to find another path, another way. I don't care. I'm going to have plan B, C, D, F, G, Z. I don't care. But it's gonna happen. I'm gonna make it happen.
Okay, well, I'm about ready to run through a brick wall after that motivational speech. It's fantastic. I fucking love it, Magic. God, I love that shit so much. Thank you. So, Kirk, I cannot wait to hear this.
Oh man. So I didn't look at what the episode was going to be until maybe the, I don't know, like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, it's normal.
And I'm already like this. I already enjoy telling stories so much. So I'm like thinking of like, oh, what are all these stories? You know, when I was in high school or at this job or college, blah, 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 blah. I think where I ended up, though, was I think I got to a point in my own life where I didn't care if I was resilient or not for a really long time. I just did not, good, bad, didn't really matter. And I think the period of my life that has required the most of that has probably been the last 3 years. And I think where that came from was just having to be willing to evaluate myself in a realistic way. Say, oh, am I a good person? Am I not a good person? And for a while, it was that second option. And where I started to start to have to rebuild that resiliency muscle was either having to come face to face with my least favorite parts about myself and having to not just look at it, but stare at it, figure out what's wrong, try to fix it, fail, and then try to fix it again, and then fail, and then try to fix it again a little bit better. And I think it felt like it took 2 years before I got momentum. I did not feel like I had grown. I did not feel like I had matured that much until other people started saying things. Whether that would be my therapist, whether that be my partner, whether that be my closest friends, and not much outside of a really tight circle, we're going to see the changes, you know. And that made it harder because, okay, there's going to be 8 people that can see the changes that I've spent 2 years on, and nobody's noticed yet. To not give up at that point, once it's been 1 year, 2 years, working on just, I mean, a bunch of little stuff, just being more mindful, just being more present, learning to set goals, being willing to challenge how you've learned things, even if you thought you were really good at them. And Lobau, you know, we've talked about, I mean, I've talked about my job lots of times, and I feel pretty confident about how I conduct myself at my job and how well I do.
Absolutely. And it's that statement you made, man. Like, yeah. it was that statement of, I think you're very, very right. If we just follow what we love, we will end up where we want. And that's a cliche statement, but by the same token, it's so goddamn true.
Yeah. And I feel, I knew like when I was going to be answering this question that I was going to sound like 42, like fortune cookies, just back to back to back. And that's fine. That's
right.
Fine.
It's totally fine. Terry loves those statements, don't you, Terry? I know you love the. I know you love the billboard. Yeah, it's absolutely. So do I. I'm a sucker for it. Keep going. Love it.
It takes some resiliency to pull the same fortune cookie every single day, and say,
"Oh God,
okay, cool. I got to do that." And okay, I got to. It's not just like this happy little feel good moment. It's like,
right,
if you're willing to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, you might get somewhere new. That's what I felt like my fortune cookie said. And it took 2 years to get anywhere new. And now that I'm there, I can celebrate, and I have to celebrate. Like, hey, look, you've grown in this way and that way. You're a better partner. You're a better friend. You're a better son. You're a better employee, whatever it is. And then you have to go walk back through the wall you just knocked down and decide what you're going to do with the next one that was only 2 feet behind that one. Because sometimes it feels like, oh, I've just worked forever, 6 months on this dumb wall, and I got through that wall, and there's a bigger wall and a thicker wall. And like that's where I know that resiliency is going to start to kick in now. Okay, cool. It's just another wall. Whatever. Let's go. I'm proud of what I did. I'm stronger now. I'm smarter now. The wall's bigger, wall's thicker. So am I. Let's go. You know, like that is that resiliency mindset that I've been already working on without putting that word to it. So maybe if we have this conversation 1 year from now again, 2 years from now again, hopefully I can just say, like, yeah, I'm still doing the same thing. I'm just working on walls, no matter how big or small they are.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes doing the same thing that is working is being resilient. Like, even if it's mundane and it's simple and no one else recognizes it and all this, it doesn't matter. That is resilience, to understand what works and keep doing it. Yeah. Like, it's
even though, like, sometimes those really big changes feel good, it's the little tiny, like, okay, do it again. Okay, do it again. Okay, do it again. That are really boring. Like, just mind-numbingly boring. Yeah. Sometimes it's mind-numbingly boring to be a good person. And it is way easier to be like, okay, we're going to throw just a little bit of chaos in there. It'll be fine. It is way more resilient. It takes way more resiliency to say, okay, we got to stick with the mundane.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's how to be a good person.
I could learn a lot from that.
What Kirk said really reminded me of an analogy, which is actually true. I don't know the names of what I'm going to say right now, but I do know there's, you know, you have two types of threes, you know. One of them probably is like super strong, big, you know, very big built, tall. And then you have other types of trees that are more flexible. And so when the storm comes, which tree falls down? And, you know, we've been saying, yeah, we're stronger. But I think resiliency, it's also more to do with taking in, because, I mean, like Kirk's saying, it's harder to be a good person than just, you know, you could be choose to be an asshole if you wanted to, you know, life gives you a punch. You could choose to become an asshole, but instead you choose to be a better person. And to me, this is the same analogy. Like, maybe a strong tree, it wouldn't pass a night with a very strong storm. But how about maybe a smaller tree, but it's more flexible. It moves with the wind. It takes it all in, but it doesn't break. And I think that's basically what we're capable of. Like, you know, it's just the turn in the other cheek. I know it sounds stupid, but no, it takes resilience, because you could really choose to be. I could be a fucking bitch for everything that happens in my life, but I actively choose to be better each time. Like, I want to be a better person. So I think that's pretty much what Kirk was saying that made me think of it.
Well, and also it's the bend but don't break mentality. That's a huge, huge thing. Thank you, Mom, for bringing up sports in your email. it's a defensive strategy. Terry, I got to be honest, I literally cannot wait to hear your resilience story, because you are the most resilient motherfucker I have ever met. I'm sorry. Like, you are. And I would like to just get a few words from you on how the hell did you learn how to be so goddamn, like, get up?
I'm going to go all over the place with this, honestly.
It's an AHD podcast. We're fine. Yeah, we go all over the place. It's what we do.
So, first I was like, hey, ADHD and resilience. And I was like, oh, fuck no. Because I ain't talking about that shit on a thing. And everybody here today knows things that I will not publicly speak about.
Right.
But so I even with that, even with my kind of talking and like beating around the bush, I can't even like pinpoint something specific that doesn't touch something else that isn't like, or a timeline, because like nothing's in chronological order, but then at the same time it does matter when things happened, because where were you at the time, what happened before that, what happened after that. And it's like, okay, so you know how like some recipes don't say to mix stuff in, they say to fold it in? Like, that's how I feel like the events in our lives are. They're folded in. They're not mixed in. And then they're not like lined up against each other. It's so fucking crazy and confusing. But there's no other way to understand it than that. And I mean, this past year, 2022. I want to curse that year, yell at it, scream it. But I think this is part of being resilient is I'm just so fucking happy I'm out of it. I'm just so fucking happy that I am not in that year, in that space anymore, that I am not even bitter about, like, I don't need karma. I don't need to shit talk it. I don't need to complain about it. I mean, sorry, yes, I fucking do need to complain about it because come on. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I need to. I don't need to make it all. This was a horrible year. But man, oh man, I'm glad I'm out of it. This has just been one thing after another. And that is stuff that has happened, stuff that was being remembered, my perspectives, my, like, where I put myself, me being mad at myself for all, and like, okay, and I this is all over the place, but
no, it really isn't. It really is not.
Well, this is. So
you're with people that understand it. Like, it's fine.
So let me start with something that Kirk said that hit. You had a period of time that you didn't care if you were resilient or not. And I'm not going to lie, there was a lot of this past year, more specifically like the last 6 months of it, that I got so tantrumy when somebody would tell me I'm strong, tell me I'm resilient. I would think about how leaders in all types of industries and personal development and psychology and everything like talk about this. And I'm like, but is the cost fucking worth it? Like, is the cost of what I have to go through to become strong and resilient worth whatever else comes? And I'm not here to debate that tonight or anything. I'm just saying that's where my mindset was for a while. I was very bitter. I was very, man, I wanted to fucking like paint my face and run around and just like make signs that just said, fuck you to everybody. And, I mean, I didn't, so that's a good thing, but I understand that because it's like, we know it is a virtue to be resilient, but the cost of getting there, God damn. That's what I got on that so far. I should probably marinate a little bit on it. But anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, like, what am I going to actually specifically talk about tonight? And through it all, there has been one thing keeping me going, getting up every day, going and doing what I need to do. You know, I didn't have to get my own place right now. I didn't have to get a full-time job with benefits and everything at this moment. I had to for me, and that's why I did it. I didn't have to leave this or leave that when it comes from moving states away from everything you've known and everything you've worked for your entire adult life, everything you thought was going to be, everything you thought you wanted, everything you thought was the path to what you want. If I didn't have this stubbornness, I probably wouldn't be here today. I will always be kind. I will always be loving, and I will never hurt people. I will not turn cold. I am not going to hurt people. I am not. I am not the kind of person who hurts people because I was hurt. That's fucking resiliency. That's what resiliency is to me, is who do I want to be? What is the one thing that makes me me? inside where I, you know, everything else sucks. It's horrible. But guess what? I don't hurt people. My God.
Right, Terry. Goddamn. I mean, I'm sorry. Can we get like a standing ovation for that? That was un-fucking believable.
I'm a little fired up. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry.
No. I'm fired up on Lowbrow Spark Podcast. Give me a break. I can't follow any of these with anything that could even compare to what y'all have said. But I will say my story with ADHD and being resilient is the fact that, so yesterday I was recognized at my company that I work for in sports as working there for 15 straight years and 18 total, as in I was 3 years part-time and 15 years full-time. They presented me with an award. And my boss got up and spoke about me. That's all fun and everything. But I think my story with resilience is literally this podcast and doing this right now. Because I feel like I have pushed myself to the maximum amount of effort to get to know each one of you on a personal level and really try to just be a shoulder to cry on or someone that, you know, can say, pump you up for 5 seconds or whatever it is. But the thing is, like, that takes its toll after a while. That's ADHD. We are empathetic. We are going to do these things at full capacity. But it has made me so much goddamn stronger in recognizing what I do well and what y'all do well, that it's literally kept me going. I mean, I started this because a poor girl took her own life. And now I'm surrounded by five people, bad at math, that are still fucking here. That is resiliency. So I'm not going to ask you what you're most proud of. What I'm going to ask you is, Leo, are you still here?
Damn right I am.
Mechie, are you still here?
I am here, and I'm going to still be here until you guys get tired of me.
Never.
Harry, are you still here?
I'm still here, still bright.
Dorsey, are you still here?
Fuck yes.
Kirk, are you still here?
More here than I've ever been.
That is my resilience story.
Lobau, are you still here?
Fucking right.
What is your profession?